glad you're all here today for Mother's Day. And as Pastor Hunter reminded us of that, I want to piggyback on what he said. These young women who find themselves pregnant often are being pressured by their boyfriends or families to have an abortion. And therefore, this provides a means to help these young women make a different choice. Either go with the pregnancy and keep the child for themselves, or go with the pregnancy, give the child up for adoption, or to abort the baby. I pray we as a church will support these women to save life. Jesus said, "Suffer not the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." So as we begin, today is Mother's Day, and I thought I would have a little video for you today. So watch this video for Mother's Day.
A mother's love, so deep, so wide. A steady hand, a faithful guide. She wipes our tears, she calms our fears. She walks beside us through the years. She wakes before the morning light to pray, to serve, to guide, to fight. Not battles waged with sword or might, but prayers whispered through the night. But some are mothers not by birth, yet pour out love of boundless worth. They mother hearts, they shape a soul, they fulfill a mother's sacred role. A grandma's arms, an aunt's embrace, a foster mom who fills the space, a teacher, mentor, sister, or friend. They love like Christ without an end. To those who've lost, who grieve today, we see your tears, we hear you pray. A mother's love does not depart, it lives forever in the heart. Oh, bless the mothers, our Lord above, for all they've done, for all their love. For in this love, so deep, so true, we glimpse, O Lord, a love like you.
Well, happy Mother's Day, mothers. Isn't that a beautiful video? I have to give credit. Bill Brewer pointed me in the direction of this thing, and I downloaded it and converted it so we could see it today. It was a beautiful video. But one of the reasons I love it is that some of you who've never had children are mothers to other children. And you nurture them, you care on them, you love them, and you have a great influence in their lives. So for all of you mothers, thank you so much for your love, your patience, for your children, your grandchildren, and other children that you encounter. There are some issues that pastors have to deal with that they are, it's outside of their box, they're not experienced in. For example, a single pastor may have to at times preach on marriage, though he's not married, but he's not totally out there on a limb. The Bible gives us biblical principles of what a Christian marriage is supposed to be like. Or a childless pastor may have to preach on parenting, and he's not outside the box either, because the Bible gives us biblical principles on what parenting should be like. And so the issue we're going to look at today is Mother's Day. And so I plan to deal with this very carefully, very faithfully, and also very fearfully. Because I'm not a mom. I am a father, but I had a great mother growing up, and I hope you did as well. And one of the things I want us to see today is that we're going to go to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. So you can go ahead and turn in that passage right now, because that's going to be the basis of where we are today, where Solomon writes out what are the qualities of a godly mother and mom. Now, there's a lot of them, so I'm not going to deal with all of those today. I just plan to focus on three of the top ones he lists there. You know, when I was a child growing up, we learned nursery rhymes, Mother Goose nursery rhymes. How many of you remember learning Mother Goose nursery rhymes? You remember this one? What are little boys made of? Made of? What are little boys made of? Remember that one? Snips and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. Now, some of you know, I went to NC State, I majored in chemistry, and those when you go to a degree like that, you have to take a lot of different chemistry classes. One, general chemistry, which most of you have taken in high school or maybe early college. And then you go and you take other chemistry classes like organic chemistry, inorganic chemistry. You take things like qualitative analysis and quantitative analysis. And those types of classes that you take, you are given maybe a beaker or a flask with solution in it. So if it's a qualitative class, you got to figure out what substances do I have in this. You don't know. You just know the percentages that you have. And so the professor for the test says, figure it out. Or if it's quantitative, you already know what you got. So now you got to determine what it is. You got the percentages, but now you got to know what it is. And so today I thought, just for a little humor, physiologists have gone through and figured out what women are made of. What are all the chemicals in their bodies that make up who they are? Look at this. They are 4 ounces of sugar, no spice, 85 pounds of oxygen, 50 quarts of water, 2 ounces of salt, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 pounds of carbon, enough chlorine to disinfect 5 swimming pools, enough phosphorus to make 20,000 matches, enough fat for 10 bars of soap. I ain't touching that one. Enough iron to make a large nail, enough sulfur to rid a dog of fleas, and enough glycerin to explode a Navy shell. That's what a regular woman's body chemically is made up. So what I want to do today is, let's go to the truth of God's word, and let's just not look at the physiology of a woman. Let's look at the spirituality of her. What should she be made of? So we're going to look at Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, but the basis of this is, I want to show you another verse which kind of got me on this path of thinking today. It's found in Luke's gospel, chapter 1, verse 28, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said these words to her. Gabriel appeared to her, Mary, and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." And every time I read that passage, I think of all the thousands of young teenage girls in Israel at that time. Why did God select this one girl named Mary? What kind of life and relationship to God did she have that God favored her to be the mother of the Messiah, Jesus Christ? And so Solomon in Proverbs 31 gives us some of the characteristics a mother should have who loves the Lord, so that she receives the favor of God, right? So here's the first one. A mother with godly virtue and Holy Spirit confidence is a mother who receives the favor of God. You've got to have godly virtue. Virtue means character. And Holy Spirit confidence, meaning you're not out there on a limb by yourself. You're being led by the Holy Spirit to make the decisions you make as the Holy Spirit leads you. So godly virtue and Holy Spirit confidence. In Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12, Solomon writes this: "A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. The heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on her and believes in her securely, so that he has no lack of dishonest gain or need of dishonest spoil. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good as long as there is life within her." So right off the bat, Solomon tells us that a woman that God favors is a godly mother with godly character or virtue. The Hebrew word translated as virtuous here is hadil. And it refers to never changing, never compromising, because God never compromises his character, who he is. So if we apply that to moms and to women today, the mother who God favors is a mother who never, ever compromises her virtue, her character, no matter how much pressure she's put under. I want to give you some quotes here. Paul Powell said, "God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. His goal is not to pamper us physically, but to perfect us spiritually." John Ruskin said, the highest reward for a person's toil is not what one gets for it, but rather what one becomes by it. Robert Friedman said, character is not made in crisis, it's only exhibited. And Pastor Arthur Dale Moody put it this way, character is what you are in the dark. He also said, character is what you are when no one is watching. God is about character. A godly mother has a godly character, and she never compromises that character for anything. She lives out her faith in Jesus Christ daily. I can't tell you the number of times I saw my own mother do this. I lost her in 1988 through a rare blood disease. But most of my life growing up with her, I've seen her be at the grocery store as little kids. Now, you younger ones, you don't remember this. When you go to the grocery store back then, we didn't have beep, beep, beep. We didn't have the beep beeps. They had to pick up the article and type in the price on it. You remember that? Because the price was stamped on it. So they're entering it, entering it. And I've seen my mom many times say, hey, that's wrong. That's not the price. You undercharged me on that because they made a mistake. I've seen her take things back that multiple grocers bagging her groceries, because sometimes they had two aisles going, put the wrong thing in her bag and she took it back. My mom never would compromise her integrity. And even when we take it back, the grocer would say, hey, you can just keep it. And she'd say, no, it wasn't mine. I didn't buy it. Godly character is a woman who God favors. Godly, virtuous mothers do not cover their tracks. They lay the tracks for others and their children to follow. That kind of mother who's laying out the track for her children and others to follow is the kind of mother God favors. Even when it comes at a great cost or great challenges or combative children. I imagine when you were raising your children, they were always very compliant, always very obedient. They were never argumentative. They never talked back to you. You said, go do this. And they said, sure, mom. Sure, dad. Okay? But our children don't always act that way, do they? And I can't tell you the number of times my mother would tell me I couldn't do something, and I would just nag till I wore her down. It wasn't anything bad. It's just maybe I want to go out and do something with my friends, okay? And the Bible says the woman, the mother God favors, never gives in to combativeness. She holds her ground because there's too much at stake if she gives in. And if your mother, does this kind of characterize you today in your character? You never compromise your character, not for anyone, not for your spouse, not for your children, not for your friends, your family, no one. Some of you ladies will recognize the name of Carol Kent. She's a great Christian women's author. She travels a lot doing women's conferences around the country. She tells a story that one morning she was sitting at the breakfast table with her son. She just kind of climbed out of bed and come down the stairs, and he came walking in the kitchen, so she was making him some breakfast, and all of a sudden, she says, we were sitting there, and she said, my hair's a mess, my makeup's not on, I've got on these old grungy clothes, and we're sitting around the table, and she said, my little son, he was like a preschooler, looked up at her and said, Mommy, you look so pretty today. And she said, I turned around to kind of look in a mirror on the wall and going, he must not have slept well. Because she said, I was not dressed up. She said, honey, why would you say I look pretty today? Normally, I'm dressed up in a suit. I've got my stuff ready to go speak somewhere. And he said this to her. She said, it shocked him. She says, when you look like this today at the table, I know you're mine. But when you are dressed up, I know you're somebody else's. I prefer it when you're mine. And she said the word struck her so much, when he went off to school, she went back and began to pray to the Lord. She opened up her calendar, and she realized her calendar was just full of engagement, speaking here, traveling here, doing this. And she realized she was away from home more than she was ever at home. So she and the Lord worked it out, and she began to reschedule, postpone, put off all these different meetings so that she'd be at home more for her son that needed her more than people, Christian women around the country that did. She thought, so what if I go out and save all the women in the United States, but I lose my son? What kind of mother is that? When a Christian mother is uncompromising in her character, keeping her life godly and holy and virtuous, unwavering in her confidence in this, God favors that kind of mother. And if you're a mother, would you say you have the confidence of the Holy Spirit guiding you in all of your decisions each day? Would you say you now have God's favor on you because your character honors the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's the second thing Solomon tells us of a type of mother God favors. A mother with persistent Christ-like diligence and compassion. To be a mom today, especially today, it takes diligence. It's tough. It's hard. The world I grew up in as a child is not the world our children are growing up today. There's so many things out there that we have to look for, be careful about, protect our children from. Because there are predators out there that will go after our children. Years ago, I used to teach a program called Child Lures, and we did it in churches, and I've even thought about doing it here sometime again, is that it teaches parents the lures predators use to get your children, either to molest them or to kidnap them and put them in trafficking. Children in churches are raised to be helpful, to be kind. And these predators know how to get your children. So a godly mother is diligent in her protection of her children, but she's also compassionate in meeting needs. Solomon writes this in Proverbs 31. He says this: she shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then with money she puts aside, she plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the work of her worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She has no fear of winter for her household because all of them have warm clothes. She quilts her own bedspreads. She dresses like royalty in gowns of finest linen. Her husband is well known, for he sits in the council meeting with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell in the merchants. And some of you are going, I've never done that. I understand. So we got to contemporize this. We got to bring it up to a more modern context because we are not an agrarian culture like we used to be. And basically what Solomon is saying here, if we were to paraphrase him, is that this mother takes time. A godly mother takes time to keep learning. A godly mother, knowing her kids are on digital devices, she learns how to use a phone. She learns how to use a computer. She learns how to use a tablet, in other words. She is there because she wants to be with her children. She's not afraid to step out. She doesn't wait for things to get done. She takes the initiative and just does them. She's not lazy, is what Solomon is saying. In Proverbs 12:24, he writes, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. Mothers who work hard set an example for their children to follow. But mothers who are lazy become a slave. You know what you become lazy to? A slave to? Worry. And we're going to get to that in Philippians 4 in a few weeks down the road, because Paul says in Philippians 4, do not worry. And I can't tell you how many times I've preached on that, people go, how in the world do you not worry? Is it a sin to worry? Yes. Because worry says, I don't trust the Lord. So when we get to Philippians 4, we'll look at that passage. But for godly mothers who are lazy, who do not take the initiative, they're overcome with the enslavement of worry. And the writer says here, be diligent, moms. God rewards the diligent, but he opposes the lazy. Proverbs 10:26 puts it this way: having a lazy person on the job is like a mouthful of vinegar or smoke in your eyes. Isn't that true? And you love just to drink vinegar? I didn't think so. Okay? We don't like it when smoke gets in our eyes either, because our eyes water up. In a monumental work looking at America's work ethic, here's what people who study this have discovered. The majority of Americans admit to spending more than 20%, 7 hours a week of their time of work totally goofing off. That basically gives us a 4-hour work day. Number two, almost half of Americans admit to calling in sick when they are not sick. And they do this often, meaning they wake up and go, oh, I got a little headache. I can't go in. Okay. One in six Americans regularly use drugs or alcohol in the job. Only 25% give the work their best effort, while the remaining 75% admit there is more important to keep the wolf from the door rather than to realize their total human potential. Okay? 50% of Americans believe that the best way to get ahead today is through cheating in politics rather than hard work. 25% of Americans say they compromise their personal beliefs in order to get ahead on their current job. Only 10% of Americans say they are satisfied with their jobs. Only 33% say they are loyal to their companies. Interestingly, women in the workplace hold to a higher moral standard than do men. In fact, in all these statistics, women are more industrious, loyal, uncompromising in their personal beliefs, less likely to cheat, call in sick, use drugs, and goof off than men. I don't know what I'm going to preach on Father's Day now. Women are more industrious. And thank you, women, that you are. The mother that is pictured here in Proverbs is industrious. She's hardworking. She takes the initiative. So if you have a job, women, how are you at it? Are you giving your company your best? Do you waste any of your employer's money just goofing off? Do you ever call in sick when you're really not sick? Do you ever compromise your personal values and beliefs under pressure from the boss or the company? Are you giving a full day's work for a full day's pay? One of the things that corporations are finding today is that a younger generation has learned this, and they work less than my generation did. Now, I understand why. My generation, we were raised to be workaholics. We would compromise our health, we'd compromise our marriages, our families, for the company, for the job. And this younger generation is saying, we're not going to do that. And I admire them for that. So we got to help them find the balance between this. Too much work and not enough. The godly person, the godly mother God honors and favors is one who's industrious, who takes the initiative. Proverbs 13:4 says, no matter how much you want, laziness won't help a bit, but hard work will reward you with more than enough. God favors a diligent, hardworking mother who takes the initiative, who is self-motivating. In verse 20, Solomon writes this, she extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. So in verse 20, Solomon takes us back to a godly mother is helpful to the less fortunate. I do not think it's a coincidence that in most churches, missions education and mission fundraising are started by women, run by women in most churches today. You women have a passion for people who are less fortunate, people who do not know Jesus Christ, who've never had the experience to hear the gospel. In fact, our two biggest offerings we take here every year are our Annie Armstrong and our Lottie Moon. Both are named after women who were missionaries. Some of you will recognize the name of Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She wrote a big famous book called On Death and Dying. And in that book, she tells of a little girl who had terminal cancer. She was so susceptible to diseases, they had her in some type of tent with oxygen to keep her from picking up viruses and bugs. And the medical personnel that had to come in had to do a lot of scrubbing to get to her. But they said, she says she was not a very complaining child, though she was in a lot of pain at times from her cancer. And so one night, the night nurse came in to check on her to see how she was doing. And all of a sudden, as she got to leave, the little girl pushed the button, and the nurse turned around and said, what is it, honey? The little girl said, well, she's looking at all the oxygen tanks. She said, what would happen if suddenly this hospital caught on fire? And the nurse just gave her a flippant answer. Oh, honey, you'll be all right. We'll take care of you. We'd get you out of here in time. And she began to walk out the door. And the nurse who told Kubler-Ross said, as she turned to close the door, she still saw the fear on that little girl's face. So instead of going on to the next patient, she went back into the room. She did everything she needed to get into that enclosure. She reached in and pulled the girl up close to her heart and held her tightly. And she says, "Does this help?" And she said the young girl began to relax. She didn't need words. She needed compassionate arms around her. God favors the mother who's compassionate. Someone who sees someone in need and takes the initiative to help those. Jesus reminded us of this in Matthew 25. He said, anytime we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we visit those in prison, Jesus said, you just haven't done it for them. You've done it also for me personally. So Solomon reminds us and reminds you moms that to get God's favor, you need to have a compassion for the less fortunate in life. In fact, the Bible tells us that when you do it, you may be showing it to angels. God often tests us to see, are we compassionate? Hebrews 13, verse 2 says this, be sure to welcome strangers into your home. By doing this, some people have welcomed angels as guests without ever knowing it. Sometimes God sends you a test, me a test, of someone who is in need to see if we will be compassionate to help them. And without realizing it, they're an angel in disguise. It's our way to say, by helping them, does this help? Peter, who was one of the 12 original disciples, wrote this in 1 Peter 3:8. Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. The reason I wanted you to see that verse is that in the Gospels, 8 to 9 times, the Bible describes Jesus as having compassion on the people. People that he knew would eventually shout, crucify him, crucify him. People that he eventually knew would be unappreciative. Remember, Jesus healed 10 lepers. You remember that story? And they all went to the priest to show themselves, but one came back to say, thank you. Sometimes we show compassion to people who are truly not appreciative, but that's not the point. We're not doing it for them. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so both Solomon and Peter reminds us that having compassion is having the heart of Christ. Some of you recognize the name of St. Augustine. He defined compassion this way. Compassion is your pain in my heart. I like that. Compassion is your pain in my heart. So how's your compassion meter today? Is it full? Is it half empty? The godly mother shows compassion for the less fortunate. She finds a way to help meet their needs. She finds a way to say, does this help? She reaches out to the poor. You've had an appeal from Pastor Hunter today about Lifeline Pregnancy. We've got the bottles back there. I hope as a church we'll fill up those bottles. Let's be compassionate for these women who are trying to decide, do I keep the baby or do I abort the baby? Let's show some compassion as a church to these women. Here's a third characteristic that Solomon talks about that wins God's favor as a mother. God favors the mother with spiritual strength and humble dignity. He favors the mother with spiritual strength and humble dignity. It's hard to be a mother today. It's tough to be a mother today. When we were growing up as kids, we didn't have all the safety things you young people have today. Now, some of you young people may find this crazy. We didn't even have seat belts. In fact, on long trips, how many of you remember, as little kids, we'd climb up in the back seat. There was a little shelf, you remember that? And we'd sleep there. We didn't have all this stuff. We didn't have helmets when we rode our bicycles. I feel for you younger parents because safety, which should be, has become a big issue to protect your children. And in our culture growing up, we didn't have all those things. But God favors the mother with spiritual strength and humble dignity. It takes a lot of strength and dignity today to be a parent, especially a mother. Solomon writes this in Proverbs 31, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs with no fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule when she gives instruction. She carefully watches all that goes in her household and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. So Solomon's saying a godly mother that God favors is rock solid. She's unmoving. She's uncompromising. If God says it's wrong, she says it's wrong. She teaches her children this is wrong. So I wanted you to have a little better understanding of this word that Solomon uses here. Uses clothed is the Hebrew word lavua. And it's a word that refers to the clothing a king would wear, more specifically, the armor he would wear when he'd go into battle against the enemy. Moms, the real enemy your children face, grandmothers, the real enemy your grandchildren face is not their peers. The real enemy they face is the devil and demons. Paul reminds us of this in Philippians 6. He says this, there is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about it in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life and death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. The devil and his demons would love nothing than to steal the heart and soul of your children and grandchildren. And any mother who thinks her children can stand on their own, she's overestimating her children's strength and underestimating Satan's. I'll give you a good example. Even Jesus had to do this with Simon Peter. In Luke 22:32, Jesus said this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not completely fail. Even Peter was vulnerable to be sifting away by the devil, a grown man. And if he is, so are our children. And the best way a mother can fight for the souls of her children is the way Jesus did through prayer. When Jesus was always tempted, he prayed to God. He poured out his heart to God. And the best weapon you have, moms, against the devil and his demons, against your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, is prayer. A godly mother is a prayer warrior. And Satan is defenseless against prayer. So let me ask you, moms, grandmothers, if you were to add up all the time you spend on your digital devices or watching TV, how does that compare in the amount of time you spend in prayer before the Lord for your children and grandchildren? One shows what's important to you. The other shows you what should be important to you. We need moms and mothers who spend time in prayer. It is the best and only weapon against the attacks of the devil and his demons. I'm here today because of a godly mother. Every night my mother pulled my sister and my younger brother together. We'd have daily devotionals. There were times when I got to be a teenager, I didn't want to do it. But we did it anyway. And I'm glad that she did, because she instilled within me what it's all about. It's not a ritual she was doing. It was about a relationship she was hoping to build in her lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. When England was being bombed out of smithereens by the Germans and their German blitzkrieg, Winston Churchill was pressured by everyone, his people, even his cabinet, his military leaders, everybody, to surrender to Germany, and he would not. And in his final speech before them, he made this infamous statement that is recorded to this day: wars are not won by evacuations. We're in battle. I was talking to a high school senior in our neighborhood just this week. And so I brought up how Audrey's dad had fought in World War II. He'd been in the Navy. And I said, when's your graduation? He said, June 6th. I said, oh, D-Day. He goes, what day? I said, D-Day. He said, what's D-Day? They don't teach that in high school anymore. So I sat there for the next 20 minutes, explained to him what D-Day was. We're in a war, spiritually. The heart and the souls of our children and our grandchildren, our nieces and our nephews. And the only way we can combat and have the best weapon is prayer. The Hebrew word translated strength in that verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 31:25 is the Hebrew word oza. It's a word that means protection, refuge. A mother becomes like a shield around her children in prayer, protecting them from the attacks of the evil one. When she's battling the enemy through prayer, providing refuge and protection to her children, the devil and his demons are fleeing. Every time Jesus came upon a person who was demon-possessed, read the scriptures. What was that demon's reaction? Fear. Moms, all you got to do is say to the devil, Jesus. And it scares him because the Bible says in James, the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. It is the only powerful name in the universe that stops the devil in his tracks. And I pray that you are a prayer warrior, that when you go to the prayer for the Lord for your children, your grandchildren, that you are invoking the only name in heaven that every knee and every tongue is going to bow down to and confess as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that name is Jesus Christ. We need moms who are prayer warriors. I don't mean you give a 30-second prayer. I mean prayer warriors. You spend some time in prayer for your children. This word is also used metaphorically in Hebrew to refer to a mother who has a good sense of humor. Moms, can you laugh at yourself? Bruce Ivor, McIver, in his book, Stories I Couldn't Tell While I Was a Pastor, it's a great book, tells a wonderful story about his godly mother. He said, on a cold, damp November day a few years ago, he said, my aged mother, better known as Mommy Mac, fell in my sister's front yard in Greensboro, North Carolina, onto the landscape. She broke her hip, and she couldn't get up. She couldn't move. And while she laid there on the ground for 4 long hours until she was discovered by a neighbor, it began to rain. So she's laying there on the ground in the cold, with cold rain falling on her, with no help, no one to see her. When it was discovered, she was taken to Moses Cone Hospital where she had hip replacement surgery. And so he had to fly in. He didn't live in Greensboro at the time. He flew in and he walked in and he saw his mother there. And he walked up to her and he says, Mom, I'm so sorry you had to lie there on the hard ground for 4 long hours before anyone heard you calling for help. He said there was a little smile on her face. She said, well, the leaves were soft. But mother, the ground was cold and damp, and it was drizzling. It rained on you all 4 hours. She said, well, do you know what the worst part of it was? I was on my way to the mailbox, but I never got there. He goes, well, what was the worst of it? She said, I had to lay there for 4 hours with no mail to read. Moms, do you have a sense of humor? Can you laugh at yourself? Do you see humor in things that don't go the way you want them to go? She had a perspective that kept her godly. The mother that God favors is a mother who has a good sense of humor. She's dignified. The Hebrew word translated as dignity or dignify, hadar, was originally used to refer to an ornament. When used in reference to a king, it referred to his majesty, the glory of a king. When we look at it in other texts, it also refers to a woman who has a friendly, radiant appearance. So when your kids come in to see you, are you radiant? Are you bubbly? Is it, hey, good morning, good day? I said, oh, what do you want? Which is it? God favors the mother who is radiant in her smile, in her appearance. Maybe you're like the youth pastor I read about some time ago. There's a Christian camp out in Santa Cruz, California called Mount Hermon Christian Conference Center. And when I was living in California, we would take our youth there sometimes. And he had been asked to be the keynote speaker for all these different churches bringing their youth to this conference for the week. And he knew his own kids, but he didn't know these other kids. So he gets up to speak. He can tell they're not paying much attention to him. And he tries several things to get their attention, and nobody's listening. And finally, he just clapped really loudly and hollered out, and they all looked up at him. He said, I want to start this out. I want to get your attention. I want to loosen things up. I want to get acquainted. So I want to just ask you some questions. And as I ask them, just shout out the answer. Okay? Nobody said a word. Dead faces. He said, all right. What small and gray has four legs, climbs trees, has a big bushy tail, and hides nuts for the winter? No kid, no teenager even answered. They just kind of giggled, like, what kind of stupid question is that? So he thought, I'll ask it again. He said, all right, kids, what a small and gray has four legs, climbs trees, has a bushy tail, and hides nuts? Nobody said a word. And he said, all right, I'm going to keep asking this question until one of you answer it. What is gray, small, has four legs, has a bushy tail, climbs trees, and hides nuts? Finally, this little teenage girl raised her hand. He goes, yes, what is it? She says, I think it's a squirrel, but I'll go ahead and say Jesus Christ. Help her, Lord, help her. Because in those conferences, the answer is supposed to be who? Jesus. Who's your best friend? Jesus. Who's going to help you with temptation? Jesus. Who's going to help you do this? Jesus. Well, I think it's a squirrel, but I'll go ahead and say Jesus. The mother God favors is a mother who has a good sense of humor. She's unashamed to shine the light of Christ. Her attitude, when she sees her children, she lights up like a Christmas tree. Why? Because she knows time is getting less and less. She'll be here with them. When your children come to you, what is your attitude and countenance? Moms, grandparents? This may be true. I don't know if I'll live long enough to ever experience, but I've been told one of the best things is to be a grandparent. Jeff goes, yeah, amen, because then you can spoil them, do things for them that the parents won't let them do and send them home. Okay? But when your children, grandchildren come to you, what's your countenance? Do you light up? Or do you give them this warm embrace? You let them know you love them and you're so glad they're here, because there may come a time they don't even want to be around you. The Bible says that a godly mother has this brilliant, shining face when she's with her children and her grandchildren. Finally, in Proverbs 31:30, the Bible says, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Women, have you noticed beauty fades? There's an app now you can download. You put in your face of today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then you'll say, what age when I was a teenager? It'll take you all the way back and show you what you should have looked like as a teenager. I thought, I'm going to do that and put it on our website for me. Okay? All right? But I did a little research. What does it cost for women today to keep their beauty there? Here's a list. These are the average fees. Facelift, $11,400. Eyelid surgery, both upper and lower, $4,800. Cheek implants, $8,000. Dermabrasion, I don't even know what that is, $4,000. Botox injection per area, $300 to $1,400. Collagen injections per 1 cc injection. Look at that, $1,100. In 2025, women spent $108 billion on makeup and cosmetics. When the Bible says, beauty does not last. I'm glad you wear it. I'm glad you do. But appearance, physical appearance, isn't the only thing that God sees. He looks at the appearance of the heart. So what spiritual cosmetics are you purchasing to make your heart more like the heart of Christ? That's what Solomon is saying, moms. God's more interested in your heart, more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. And in Proverbs 31, 28 through 29, verse 31, he says this, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Jennifer Tatum tells that about 10 years ago, she found her mother sitting at the kitchen table. And her mother was reading Proverbs 31, and she could tell her mother was frustrated as she read this passage. And she asked her mother, she said, "What's going on, Mom?" She said, "As I read these, even in modern translations, I don't know if I'll get any of them done." She said, I don't know. I've worked on the first one, but and maybe I'll get that mastered, and maybe I get that one done, I can go to the next one. She said, "I don't know if my lifetime I'll ever get all this done." And she said, "Well, what really troubles you with this Proverbs 31 passage?" She says, "Well, in the end it says her children rise up and call her blessed." She says, "My biggest fear is I won't become this mother so that y'all don't rise up and call me blessed." Well, her daughter had a crazy idea. Seeing her mother's dishevelment, she tried to encourage her, said, "Mom, we are blessed," et cetera, et cetera. She called her other sisters, and they got together, and they made this certificate for their mom. They called it the Certificate of Completion in Proverbs 31 Training. And each one, they pulled out the verse of each thing this woman is like and listed how their mother had done that all the way down, and they all signed it and gave it to her on Mother's Day. They said their mother just cried and cried and cried. Sometimes we don't tell our mothers enough we love them. Sometimes we just take them for granted. Sometimes we don't tell our grandmothers we love them. We just take them for granted. Or our aunts. A godly mother is more than just 50 quarts of water. She's more than enough sulfur in her body to kill fleas. She's more than enough glycerin to explode a Navy shell. A godly mother has godly, virtuous character and confidence, diligence and compassion, strength and dignity. So I want to offer you a suggestion today. If your mother is still alive, why don't you give her a certificate of completion in Proverbs 31 training? I just made this up for the slide. This is to certify that our mother, put her name, has completed all the requirements to be a Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 mother. We love your mama. Why don't you just do that some and surprise your mom or your grandmother? Just do it. Because I can tell you, most mothers feel they're not being a good enough mother. And sometimes on Mother's Day, what she needs is more than roses and candy and a trip to a restaurant. What she needs is encouragement. Would you do that? Think about it this week. If you've lost your mom, find a mother you could give that to. Have compassion for another mom somewhere. It could be an aunt. It could be a neighbor. Just encourage them. According to all polls, 40% of mothers say they're given these Mother's Day gifts. I'm not making this up. They're given deodorant. I'm surprised you're standing after that one. A fire extinguisher, cleaning supplies, salad dressing, popcorn, a hairdryer, tools, toilet paper, and a calculator and car parts. When Audrey read that, she said, "Based on my Volkswagen Beetle," she says, "Emmy can give her all the car parts she wants." I mean, do you really think that's what a mother wants? Would she prefer that or completion of being a Proverbs 31 mother? Give her the certificate. Encourage your mom. Encourage someone who is a mom that if you don't have a mom. Don't give her deodorant or fire extinguisher or even cleaning supplies. Give her something that encourages her. Let's pray.